Swayam.
Swayam.
He himself.
He
himself. Danudwari.
Danudwari.
Bow on the door.
Bow on the door.
Nidaya.
Nidaya.
Keeping. Mayam.
Mayam.
The external nature.
External nature.
Bratu.
Bratu.
Brothers.
Brothers.
Pura.
Pura.
From the palace.
From the palace.
Mamasu.
Mamasu.
In the core of the heart.
In the core of the heart.
Tadita.
Tadita.
Being afflicted.
Being afflicted.
Api.
Api.
In spite of.
In spite of.
Sa.
Sa.
He.
He.
Vidura.
Vidura.
Itam.
Itam.
Like this.
Like this.
Ati Ulavana.
Ati Ulavana.
Severely.
Severely.
Karna.
Karna.
Ear.
Ear.
Banai.
Banai.
By the arrows.
By the arrows.
And Gatavyata.
Gatavyata.
Being very sorry. Without being sorry.
Without being
sorry.
Ayat.
Excited. Udu.
Udu.
Great.
Great.
Manayana.
Manayana.
So thinking.
So thinking.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Thus being pierced by arrows through his ears and afflicted to the core of his heart, Vidura placed his bow on the door and quit his brother's palace. He was not sorry, for he considered the acts of the external energy to be supreme. Translation responsibly. Thus being pierced by arrows, through his ears, and afflicted to the core of his heart, Vidura placed his bow on the door. And quit his brother's palace.
He was not sorry.
For he considered the acts of the external energy to be supreme. Purport. A pure devotee of the Lord is never perturbed by an awkward position created by the external energy of the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita 3:27, it is stated, Prakrite kriyamanani gunai kamani savasha ahankara vidudatma kataham iti manyate. A conditioned soul is absorbed in material existence under the influence of different modes of external energy. Absorbed in the false ego, he thinks that he is the doer. He is doing everything by himself. The external energy of the Lord, the material nature, is fully under the control of the Supreme Lord, and the conditioned soul is fully under the grip of the external energy. Therefore, the conditioned soul is fully under the control of the law of the Lord. But due to illusion only, he thinks himself independent in his activities. Duryodhana was acting under such influence by the external nature, by which he would be vanquished at the ultimate end. He could not accept the sound advice of Vidura, but on the contrary, he insulted that great soul, who was the well-wisher of his whole family. Vidura could understand this because he was a pure devotee of the Lord. In spite of being very strongly insulted by Duryodhana's words, Vidura could see that Duryodhana, under the influence of Maya, the external energy, was making progress on the path toward his own ruination. He therefore considered the acts of the external energy to be supreme. Yet he also saw that the internal energy of the Lord helped him in that particular situation. A devotee is always in a renounced temperament because the worldly attractions can never satisfy him. Vidura was never attracted by the royal palace of his brother. He was always ready to leave the palace, leave the place and devote himself completely to the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Now he got the opportunity by the grace of Duryodhana, and instead of being very sorry at the strong words of insult, he thanked him from within because it had given him the chance to live alone in a holy place and fully engage in the devotional service of the Lord. The word gata vyata, being very without being sorry, is significant here because the word gata, vyata, is significant here because Vidura was relieved from the tribulations which trouble every man entangled in material activities. He therefore thought that there was no need to defend his brother with his bow because his brother was meant for ruination. Thus he left the palace before Duryodhan could act. Maya, the supreme energy of the Lord, acted here both internally and externally. Omigyan timanandasya ginanjana shalakaya chakshurin militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati swapadantikam vancha kaupatarubhyascha kripa sindubhi evacha petitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadha srivasadi gaura bhakta vrinda hare krishna hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama hare rama 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 Hare Hare. There's a famous part of the Bhagavatam, and many important lessons which need to be learnt by all of us here in this material world. So, the material world is not our home. This is established by Krishna in the very beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. What is the first thing that Krishna teaches in Gita? What is the first lesson? Chapter 2. Krishna doesn't even speak in chapter 1. He only says one thing in chapter 1. Just behold, O Pata, all the Kurus assembled here. That's all he says in the first chapter. And then Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, then in the second chapter, in the second verse, then Krishna begins to speak, but he does not instruct Arjuna because Arjuna is not ready to hear. You can't instruct someone who's not ready to hear. And if someone's not listening to you, then don't waste your time. Only give instruction to someone who is listening. If someone is ready to accept your authority, then you can instruct them. But if someone does not accept you as an authority, then you cannot say anything to the person like that. You may have knowledge, you may be correct, you may be able to guide the person, but if they're not ready to hear, then there's nothing to say. So don't waste your time. Get someone else to instruct them, who they'll listen to. So Arjuna, he was not ready to listen to Krishna. So then Krishna did not say anything. But then Arjuna changed his mentality. Shishyasteham sadimam tvam prapannam. Now I am your disciple. Now I am surrendered to you. Now please instruct me. So Krishna says, okay, now you're ready, then I will speak. So what is the first thing he says? Vasocha nan vasocha stvam. Because what is the first letter of the alphabet? First letter is A. So what's the first thing Krishna says? Asocha. Begins at the beginning. So what is fundamental? What is the beginning principle? What is the first thing that we must learn? What is the first item of knowledge? There is a difference between matter and spirit. While speaking learned words, you are lamenting for that which is not worthy of grief. The wise lament neither for the living nor for the dead. First thing Krishna says, right? First lesson. This is where spiritual life begins. If you don't understand the difference between body and soul, matter and spirit, you can't be taught anything else because that is the fundamental principle. Fundamental principle means the foundational principle. Now, if there's a good foundation, the building is stable. If the foundation is useless, the building cannot progress. It will collapse in due course of time. So you see, when Prabhupada is speaking, we mention this often. You see, when Prabhupada is preaching to the non-devotees, he just keeps saying, why do you kill the animals? Why do you kill the animals? So in other words, what he's saying, right, there's a difference between matter and spirit, and you don't understand the difference. That's what he's saying, fundamentally. Because if they can't understand the beginnings, how are they going to understand anything higher? How can you understand Radha and Krishna, which is the highest knowledge of God, the highest jnana, How can you understand that if you can't even understand the difference between matter and spirit, that you should not kill an animal? Because he has a soul. And Prabhupada gives that famous discussion with that cardinal from France. And he says, the animals do not have souls. And Prabhupada just looks at him like, what's wrong with you? You're supposed to be the head of your religion. You don't even know the animal does not have has a soul. Prabhupada goes to Moscow, speaks to Katovsky, Dr. Katovsky. Swamiji, when we die, everything is finished. And Prabhupada just looks at him. You are the head of the Indology department. You're the expert in Russia on Vedic teaching. You don't even understand A. So if you don't understand A, then you cannot understand B, C, D. You can't understand the rest. So the first thing that we are taught, Krishna says, there is a difference between matter and spirit. If you understand this, all your problems in your life are solved. Hands up if you have any problems in your life. Oh my God. Big trouble. All right, and why do we have problems? Because we don't understand the first point of Bhagavad Gita. One time, Prahlad Nanda Maharaj was giving a class here in Melbourne. And I said to Maharaj, even in class, I said, what are you going to speak on tonight? He said, Bhagavad Gita. I said, which part? He says, well, you know, some beginning part, like, you know, Dehin or Smin or something like that. I said, Maharaj, that's basic. He said, you don't even understand. He said, you don't even understand the basic, which is true. Because if we understand that, we don't have any problems anymore. All our problems are based on this one point. We don't understand that we are spirit. Because when you understand your spirit, what is the nature of spirit? Right? A spirit is experiencing Brahma-Buddha, Prasanatma. He is always happy. Na sochiti, na kangshiti. Right? What is our problem? Sochiti, kangshiti. That's our problem. Right? We're lamenting, oh, I did not get this. And we're hankering, I want that. Right? So you analyze your mind all day long. You know, you say, I've got problems. That's all your problems. Why? Because you don't understand. Brahma Buddha. I am Brahma Buddha. If you understand that, there are no problems. It's all gone, finished. So Krishna solves everything in the first verse of the Bhagavad Gita. And we don't understand it. Therefore, we have problems. So then what is the second teaching? Someone get a chair for Mahatma Prabhu. Let's go and get a chair. What is the second teaching? First teaching is that. First three verses, 11, 12, 13. And what's 14? That's when the second teaching comes. What is it? Yeah, Macha Svasha Stukunteya. Shitoshna, Sukha Dukha. Okay, so what is the second teaching? Titiksha. Second teaching of Gita. Straight off the very beginning. Krishna gets straight to the point. The truth, Chaitanya Charitamrita says, the truth spoken concisely is true eloquence. And that's Chaitanya Charitamrita. Right? When you speak concisely, that is eloquent. You know eloquent, the word? Eloquent means beautiful. When someone speaks beautifully, we say, oh, they're eloquent. Right? Kaviraj Goswami, he says, if you speak the truth concisely, that is eloquent. Not that you go on and on and on and on and on, and just speaking and speaking and speaking, oh, I'm speaking so nicely. But what are you saying? You know, sometimes people are giving class and they're talking, and then we say, what's your point? Right? So speak concisely. Krishna is the most eloquent speaker, so he just gives you the truth concisely. Hare Baba, what is your problem? Right? Arjuna, you don't understand, you're not the body. Of course, Arjuna's not. This is just Leela. Arjuna doesn't need to hear this. This is just for us, like that. But what Krishna is saying, okay, what's your problem? You don't understand, you are the soul. And secondly, you are not tolerant. Because the nature of this material world, first thing you have to learn in this material world is tolerance. Right? Why? Because it's crazy. The world is just chaotic. Kali Yuga is chaotic. And actually, Jiva Goswami says, Kali Yuga is very conducive for Nam Sankirtan. Because what is the process? What is the Yuga Dharma? How do we become purified in Kali Yuga? Nam Sankirtan, right? So he says, Kali Yuga is perfect for Nam Sankirtan. That's why this is the Yuga Dharma. That's why Nam Sankirtan, even though Nam Sankirtan is present in every age, Satya, Treta, Dwapara, it's there. Everyone's chanting the holy name. But it's not the Yuga Dharma because it's not the right atmosphere. The atmosphere is perfect for Nam Sankirtan. Because it's so intense in Kali Yuga, you've got to chant desperately, sincerely, for shelter. Krishna, give me shelter, give me shelter. And that's when you make advancement. Right? When you're calling out to Krishna, what does Prabhupada say? How should we chant? Yeah, like the child is calling for the mother. Right? When the child wants the mother, that's it, desperation. Right? And the mother comes immediately. So when you chant like that, then Krishna will come. No, but half the time your chanting is useless. Whatever you're chanting. But that's not going to attract Krishna. You want to attract him, right? Then there has to be the intensity which is there. And Kali Yuga will give that to you. That's Kali Yuga's Mahaprasad. Kali Yuga will say, here it is. I'll make it intense. And if it's not intense for you yet, then just stick around. It just means you're in the wrong decade of your life, that's all. Right? If you're in your 20s and it's not intense, that's okay. Because the 30s will begin and the 40s sets in. And the 50s becomes dominant. And the 60s become predominant. And if you get to the 70s, then you'll get the good stuff. Right? And then the real cream is in the 80s. And if you get beyond that, then... You know. So it is intense. But Kali Yuga is like that. Why? So that we will call out to Krishna. So the first thing that Krishna is saying, the second thing he's saying in the Gita is, Arjuna, tolerate. Why do we tolerate? Because you have to. There's no choice. Learn to tolerate. Devotees have to become expert in tolerance. Expert. Because one of the qualities of the devotee is daksha. Daksha means expert. What do we have to become expert in? Tolerance. You have to become very tolerant. And that's the advantage of being born in Russia or India, or you see these Eastern Bloc countries, Eastern European countries also, people are so tolerant because they have austerity. Right? Westerners are soft. It's hard for us to practice tolerance. We're not tolerant of anything. We need air conditioning and we need this and we need that. And, Indian people, Russian people, they're so tolerant. Just like we do our retreats when we go to Vrindavan. And then we go on our retreats, and the Russian devotees are so tolerant. They all just sleep in the big room. Everyone just rolls out. All the Matajis just roll out their yoga mat, just sleep, get their sleeping bag. You know, we need private rooms with private bathrooms, and you know, they just sleep anywhere, anything. Just get up happy all the time. Just do all their service. Serve our prasadam all the time to all the devotees. Just so tolerant. So these are the qualities that we need. In the material world, you have to learn tolerance. Now, in this particular section of the Bhagavatam, we're hearing about Vidura. Now, it's an important section of the Bhagavatam. It's a very famous section of the Bhagavatam. What does Vidura do? Right. As soon as there is a reverse, he sees that as Krishna's arrangement and mercy. So Prabhupada says what's happening here is that the external energy and the internal energy are working simultaneously. For Duryodhana, it's the external energy. For Vidura, it's the internal energy. And that's how devotees see it. When we see, as a devotee, when we see something is happening to us which is not good, do not good things happen to you sometimes? Sometimes you get problems in your life.
Always.
Now you're my best friend. You and I must be brothers.
That's how it is.
Yeah, that's India. That's how it is. It's a superior birth. It's a superior birth. By birth, being born in India is superior. That's why Chaitanya Charitamrita says, if you're born in that country, it is your duty to deliver the rest of the world. Because you already have a head start by consciousness. India, they said that's the way it is. You know, in Australia, we don't say that's the way it is. We say, ah, can you fix it? India, they say, no problem. Yeah, you see the rickshaws, not the rickshaws, the tempos. You know, 19 people in the tempo. Or you see the Tata Sumo or the, you know, driving, you know, there are 13 people get out the back. Yeah, you're driving from Delhi to Vrindavan, and like you're driving and then behind, you know, you're behind the Tata Sumo and you see in the back, there's 13 people in there. There's like two families in there and everyone's just having prasadam, you know. Everyone's in, they just wave at you, all the kids are waving. Like, you know, for an Australian, we just think that's insane. You know, we need a nice, you know, we need room, and you know, I need room to stretch and to chant, you know, put my water in, everything. It's, you know, totally different consciousness. So, they see it, a devotee sees these things as being, when reverses happen in life or difficulties happen in life, a devotee sees that as being Krishna's kripa and the action of the internal energy. Because what Krishna does is that Krishna uses our karma to purify us. Right? And Prabhupada explains this, that when you become a devotee, you're no longer under the external energy. You're under the internal energy. It is Krishna who is making the arrangement. Krishna uses the same karma. Right? So you look at your chart when you're born. Right? Prabhupada speaks about this in the Bhagavatam. Back in the first canto, he makes a few comments about astrology. When Parikshit is born, then he says, you know, they cast the chart to see what the... So, you know, you go through your born in your sun period, you know, you go through your moon period, go into your Mars period, go into your Rahu period, go into your Jupiter period, right? And then Saturn will come, and then Mercury will come, and K2 will come, and like, you know, and you'll get Venus, and then you get the whole thing. So it's happening, right? And even when you're a devotee, we can still look at the chart and say, okay, you're going through this, you're going through that. But Krishna uses what you're going through to purify you, because Krishna is expert. He understands, like, you're going to go through this, but I'm going to use it in such a way to completely detach you from this material energy. So when we go through something, it's not the material energy, it's Krishna using the material energy to purify us. So in every circumstance in our life, we have to see, this is Krishna doing this to me because he wants to purify me. So therefore, and as we said, all your problems, if you understand the first teaching of Gita, you're not the body, you're the soul, all your problems are gone. If you start looking at life like this, that all the bad things are actually good things because it's Krishna who is trying to purify me, all your problems are gone. Because when something bad happens, you say, this must be good because Krishna must be teaching me something here. What is he teaching me? Ultimately, this material world is not my home. That's why he makes it uncomfortable for us. He puts sand in your sweet rice, right? Or salt in your charanamrita, or whatever it is. You know, he wrecks your life. You know, that's Krishna's job, right? To wreck our life, right? And he smiles the whole time. You know, he just plays his flute. He just looks at you and he says, "How do you like that? I just wrecked everything. How do you like it? Good, huh?" That's what he does. He does that to all of us, right? But then when he's doing that, we thank him. And that's what the Bhagavatam says, that what Lord Brahma prays. When that's happening in the core of my heart, I just pray to you. I am your devotee. I just want to serve you. Right? Even though you're destroying everything around me, but I just want to serve you. I've got nothing else. I've only got you. That's why he's doing it. Right? And if we have that mentality, then we pass the test. We get closer to him. So it's a good thing. So what does Vidura do? As soon as he understands, right, that he's been kicked out of the palace, does he complain? Right? Doesn't say in the Bhagavatam that he complains. Prabhupada said he's not even sorry. He says, okay, that's good. You know, you want to kick me out of the palace? What's worse than being rejected by your family? What's more painful than being rejected by your family? Right? Is anyone here from India? Right? Indian people, it's all about family. Right? Prabhupada said the Western people were already sannyasis.
What kind of sannyasi?
Huh? What's that?
Lord of enjoy sannyasi.
We are sannyasis. Prabhupada said we are sannyasis.
Okay.
No.
So we are already sannyasis. Because there's already detachment from the family. You know, half of the Western families are so dysfunctional, right? You're already detached practically. I'm not from my family, I'm very close to my family, but my family is different. But Prabhupada said the Westerners are already sannyasis. Prabhupada said, leave everything. Become a brahmachari, become a brahmacharini. Western devotees say, yeah, no problem. Just Indian people, right? It's like this whole pressure coming from, you know, 18 generations. You know? You cannot leave your mother. You know, so much pressure. Right? And when the devotees join, you know, they become a some devotees join here in Melbourne. They don't tell their parents for a couple of years they've moved into the ashram. You know, and eventually they tell them, I've moved into the restaurant. The mother's like, oh my God, you know, we have to get you married. Like every time you go back to India, you know, you get like your grandmother comes and the father, everyone, the whole family gets there to have the GBC meeting. You know, when are you going to get married? Why are you doing this to your mother? Right, there's like so much pressure. Like that. Interesting, I heard a story recently. Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj, he had one brahmachari. And same thing, this is back 100 years ago. And the brahmachari was getting a lot of pressure from the mother. You know, when the mother starts, then that's it. You know, when the mother puts pressure, then it's heavy. You know, when my mother starts putting pressure, it's like, whoa, it's heavy. So she was putting pressure. Leave the brahmachari ashram. Come home. And then she was so upset, this mother, you know, sometimes they get fired up. Then she wanted to speak to Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur. All right. So they organized a darshan. She would come and see Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur. So then the brahmachari came and he was like shaking. He said, Guru Maharaj, my mother is coming. And Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur said, get under the bed. So the brahmachari got under the bed. Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur was sitting on the bed, right? And he got under the bed and he was there and he was like trembling. And the mother came in, right? And she started crying and, when will my son come back? And when will I get like this? And my son. And Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur, he says, do not worry. He said, we will look after your son. He is like my son. We will look after him, don't worry. But she is so like, he said, don't worry. He will come back to visit you and everything. Don't worry, like this. She said, no. Anyway, he pacified her to a degree, and then she leaves. And the brahmachari gets out from under the bed. And Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur, he said, that was not Mata, no, that was Maya. No. It was not Mataji, it was Mayaji. He said, for so many lifetimes, you've been away from Krishna. And now you're almost to Krishna again. And Maya is coming and saying, come back. So you have to be determined. Ekeha kuru nandana. Because Maya is going to put pressure on you. Right? If you're a Westerner, you get pressure in different ways. Right? If you're an Indian, you get pressure from the family. It's heavy. But sooner or later, you're going to have to turn your back on Maya. Right, just like Lord Nityananda. You remember the pastime of Nityananda Prabhu? When the sannyasi came and said to Hadai Pandit, his father, he said, I want your son. And Hadai Pandit, his head, it broke. He couldn't, you want my son. Right? And when Nityananda Prabhu left the next morning, he didn't even look back at his parents. He just left. Because what was he teaching us? He was teaching us, sooner or later, you have to turn your back on the material world. Sooner or later. Right? So many lifetimes, we've had so many mothers putting pressure on us. Now this lifetime, we have to resist. Not easy, but we have to resist. And Krishna sees that. He sees if you resist, then Krishna will give you everything. Right? He will take you back to the spiritual world. But he has to see that we're ready and willing to give up Maya. So when Vidura, when he sees this is taking place, then what does Vidura do? He says, okay, this is Krishna's arrangement. Right? Because what got Vidura into this situation? Right, if you read the verses leading up to this, why was Vidura in this situation? Because he was preaching Krishna consciousness. And this is what happens when you preach, you get opposition. So Vidura was preaching. And he said to Dhritarashtra, he said, "What are you doing?" He said, "You're living like a dog in the palace." This is his brother. Right? You can only speak like this with your brother. You know, you're living like a dog. Bhima's throwing scraps to you. You know, go to the forest, take vanaprasth. Get serious about your spiritual life. Why are you wasting your time in the palace? Everything's gone now. All your sons are gone. Everything's been taken from you. Now just surrender to Krishna. Right? And Duryodhana, because Duryodhana was very envious. Right? And Duryodhana, I know this is before the battle, right? The sons must be, because Duryodhana would have been dead. So how does this work? How can Duryodhana mean? It must be before the battle. So why doesn't he say that? Isn't there a verse where he says
different canon?
Okay, I'm mixing up the time frame. Okay, so basically he's saying it's before the battle, but he's just saying you're old, right? And Bhima is feeding you, right? He's practically your enemy. You've made the enemy, and you're living in the enemy's home, and you're reliant on him. Just go. Get serious about spiritual life. Your life is finished. Go and just become serious. But Dhritarashtra won't do it because he's attached. And because Duryodhana is envious, then he says to Vidura, his uncle, and you never do this. There's one point of Vedic culture. Vedic culture, you never correct the senior. You never speak improperly. You imagine, you know, your home, you speak to your father or mother. Oh, like this. It's like, hey. Yeah, you don't speak like that. Yeah, my parents were very strict. You know, I said something out of line. My mother, hey, shh, like that. You just, that's good. That's how the parents should be. Chanakya says, between the age of 5 and 15, you are strict on the kids. Because you need to make the character. The guru must chastise the disciple, and the father and mother must chastise the child. Otherwise, they become ruined. So when the guru speaks heavily, that is mercy. When the mother and father speak heavy, that is mercy. That's good. Otherwise, the kids become crazy. And you see, modern world, kids are crazy because the parents don't get on their case. So, Duryodhana speaks up to Vidura, which is completely out of context. Right? This is demoniac. He says, "Who are you, Uncle G? Get out of here. Right? Get out of this palace. Yeah, how dare you instruct like that?" And he says, so Vidura says, "Okay, no problem. Yeah, if you're going to treat me like that," then puts the bow down and just walks out of the palace. Then what does he do? What does Vidura do? He's got an opportunity, right? Burujan Prabhu explained this a number of years ago. He said, life is like when you go to the building? Just like you go to the stock exchange down here in Melbourne, in Collins Street. You know the when you walk in, they've got the doors that go like that? Revolving doors. Is that what they're called? You know the doors I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like that. So Burujan Prabhu was explaining one time, like they come past, right? And suddenly there's a gap. You have to go in, right? If you don't, you miss, right? And then you go in a split second later, you, right? And then another gap comes. So life is like that. Krishna opens up the gaps periodically, right? And when Krishna opens up the gaps, and usually it's when there's disaster in your life, right? Then Krishna is opening up and he's saying, come through now, right? And if you don't take advantage, you miss the opportunity, and the opportunity might not come for another 10 years. So if you get the opportunity, go through. That's what Vidura did, right? The door opened up. He said, okay, here's my opportunity to get out. Door opened up and he just went through. Right, same if you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, Raghunath Das Goswami, right? He was trying to get away from his parents so he could join Lord Chaitanya. And then finally the opportunity came. Yadunandanacharya, who was his Kula guru, they were asleep. And then they'd been doing a puja. And there were soldiers. All the guards were there. And all the guards fell asleep. And Yadunandanacharya, he touched Raghunath Das. He said, go now, go now. Said, everyone's asleep, just run. So he just got up and he just took off into the night. Right? Ran from Mayapur to Puri. Right? Used to take a month to walk from Mayapur to Puri. when they used to come every year to see Lord Chaitanya, he got there in 12 days or something. Day and night, he just kept running, because he knew they were chasing him. Right? Because he wanted to be with Lord Chaitanya. Right? So when the door opens, just go through. Don't miss the opportunity. And you have to do that in spiritual life. You know, if the door opens, just go through. You know, your mother will be saying, hey, don't go through. Don't go through. It's heavy. Right? When you become a Hare Krishna devotee, the world doesn't applaud you. Right? It's not everyone says, yeah, go and do it. The same thing happened to me. My mother, she put intense pressure on me. I came home and I said, Mom, I'm becoming a Hare Krishna. Right? And she flipped. Right? She freaked out. No, you can't do this to your mother. And she said the most emotionally blackmailing thing she could to stop me from doing it. But the door had opened, right? There's an opportunity. You just go through. You don't miss the opportunity. Because if you miss it, the door might not open again for a long time. So as devotees, we have the opportunity. That's what Vidura is teaching us. So what did Vidura do? Right? He went to the holy places. That's what we do as well. If the door opens, just go to the holy place. Come to the temple. Or come to the, you know, if you're fighting with your wife, come to the temple. Or if, you know, your kids are going crazy, come to the temple. You know, if the door open, just go to the holy place and get purified. Right? And it's interesting, the comment is made, because Krishna was still on the planet at this point. Right? So what would you do if Lord Chaitanya was on the planet right now? What would you do? If Lord Chaitanya was here right now, in Mayapur, right now, what would you do? Right, I'd be out the door already, right? I'd be on the phones, you know, speaking to Krishna guitar, right? I'd be saying, what's the next flight out of here? Seriously, right? Every one of us would be on the next plane, right? Every devotee in the world would be on the plane just going, right? Now, this is interesting because Vidura's on the planet. Krishna's also on the planet. He doesn't go to Krishna, which is what you do, right? If the whole family thing collapsed and you get out the door, the first thing I'd think, well, where's Krishna? I'd just walk over to Dwarka, right? But he doesn't go to Dwarka, right? Because he's contaminated. Because he's been living with Duryodhan and the others for years. And his consciousness is not purified. So he feels, I'm not qualified to be with Krishna yet. So what does he do? He goes on pilgrimage. I think he goes for 18 years or something. He goes to all the holy places and purifies himself. So then he can approach Krishna. And then by that time, then Krishna disappears. So not there. So don't miss the opportunities. Don't miss the opportunities. Always take the opportunity to be with your guru. Always take the opportunity to be with Radha Balaba. Always take the opportunity to bathe in the Ganga. Always take the opportunity to go on Harinam. Don't miss the opportunities because they don't always come around. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. No. You look at Ukraine. What's going on in the Ukraine at the moment? That could be World War III. They just shot down a jet. This is the most tense thing that's probably happened historically since 9/11. It's very tense at the moment. The world is very tense. It could implode any day. Any day. So we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So make sure you take advantage today. You know, it's serious business. It's serious. The world's it's serious. It's that far away at the moment. It's that far away. What's going on in Gaza? You know, what's going on? Prabhupada, one time he said, World War III begins between Pakistan and India. He said that once. Right, so that could just, and we all know what that's like. That could just go any time. Israel could go any time. This Ukraine thing, America and Russia could stand off any time like that. So get serious. Right? Chant and be happy amongst all the seriousness. That's our philosophy. Okay, so we'll stop here, see if there's any questions or comments on what we have discussed. Any other questions? Tudor. yeah, then just what I do with my family, because we are very close, very close. But they're attracted to Krishna. You know, my mother's done Govardhan Parikram. You know, she's done lots of service. She's very attracted. She's very supportive. But at the same time, there's a lot of maya. Just because they're in, not like gross maya, but just, you know, they're in the material world. So the way I deal with my family, because I love them, I'm very attached to them. But at the same time, I don't take unlimited association because, you know, they're in the material energy to a degree. So I just keep them happy. I just give them as much as they need to keep them happy. Right? So I don't go around for a while because, you know, I'm focusing on my Krishna consciousness. And if I associate with them too much, it'll weaken my determination. So I don't associate with them too much. But when I start hearing them like, you know, oh, you haven't been around for a while and this and that, and, you know, you don't come and see me anymore and you don't love me anymore, and, you know, when I start hearing all that stuff, then I, you know, I go around and I have visits and keep everyone happy. That's how you deal in the material world. Just keep everyone happy. Right? Rupa Goswami says that. Right? Be responsible in material dealings. Just keep everyone happy. You know, and if everyone's happy, it's like the you know, when you're cooking, right? And then on the back you have the back burner. So you have you cook in the main stuff, and on the back, you know, there's just something simmering away. So you just have a look at that once in a while. You know, give it a stir, and then you get back to the main stuff. So with Krishna consciousness, you just focus on Krishna consciousness. And once in a while, you know, you just stir the back pot, and then you just stop. So just keep everyone happy, that's all. But give association, don't take association. Because if you associate with them too much, you'll get weak. That's all. So. But if you don't associate enough, they'll get upset, and that causes another set of problems. So. Is that okay? Yes.
In very early days in the Prabhupada time, and nowadays not many Westerners were coming to the Hare Krishna movement. Why are they there?
Because we have to be intelligent the way we're preaching to them. Yeah. Prabhupada said you have to rack your brains as to how to preach. So we have to, Dave Marita Swami is the best, right? Because he sees, okay, the world is changing, the world is changing, the world is changing. So he adjusts. If the world goes like this, he goes like that. Right then. So our movement has to work out more how to adjust to time, place, and circumstance. Because people are changing all the time. So you can't keep preaching the way we preached in the 1970s. Prabhupada was making lots of Westerners. Right? And then 1980s. In Australia, we met a lot of Western devotees. 90s, it went quiet. You know, in the noughties and 2000s, kind of starting to pick up again. Like that. So we just have to adjust our preaching constantly. We just have to preach in a way that will attract them. Don't keep doing the same thing because, you know, people change all the time. No one in the outside of the material, they're not doing the same. They don't listen to the same music they listened to in the 70s and the 80s because they need to change all the time. That's the nature of the mind. It needs constant change. So when the world changes, then you change. Right? Present the same thing, but just, like Prabhupada said, old wine in a new bottle. It's the same stuff, right? But we're just doing it differently the way we did it last time, so. And then we'll make more Western devotees again. Any other question? Because he wasn't in the right consciousness. Just like if you're with your spiritual master, but you're not in the right consciousness, what happens? Yeah, offense, or you, it doesn't work. I was with my guru sometimes, my Diksha guru, Tamal Krishnamurti, and so I wasn't in the right consciousness. So he was just like pounding me. Hey, what's wrong with you? Like that. Right? And if I was in the right consciousness, things would work. So you can't just walk in to be with Krishna Because you have to be in the right consciousness, right? And Vidura, he just knew, because we're devotees have to be, you only advance when you become honest. Right? So he knew, I'm not ready to be with Krishna. I need to purify myself for 18 years or whatever it was. So he traveled around, got purified, and then he went to approach Krishna. Just like, you know, sometimes you wake up in the morning and just, you know, you're in a certain headspace. You know, sometimes I wake up and I'm not feeling well, or I'm grumpy. Cause, you know, when we're tired, we get grumpy. So I'm just careful on those days how I deal with all the devotees. Because I know I'm just not in the right headspace. So, you know, it's not that I don't want to be with the devotees, but I just hold back a little bit because I don't want to offend them, as Radha Sangha said. You know, I don't want to, you know, commit offenses. I just want to, you know, keep it back. I want to be with the devotees, but I'm not in the right consciousness today. So I just have to be careful. You know, I say Hari Bol to everyone, but I don't get too close because I'm just, you know, I'm grumpy and I'm going to say things, you know, I'm going to say things which I shouldn't say and like that. So Duryodhana, he knew that. Vidura, he knew that. I can't go directly to Krishna because I'm going to say the wrong things. Or I'm just not purified enough at the moment. So he just pulled back. Does that answer your question? That's not our philosophy. That's not our philosophy. Our philosophy is Shraddha, Sadhusanga, Bhajana Kriya, Anatta Nivritti, Nishta, right? Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, Prema. So yes, there is a point where we are going to be qualified. That's called Prema Bhakti. So you can't say there's not a point where we're going to be qualified. Because when you have Prema, you aren't qualified. So obviously he wasn't in the right state of consciousness, that's all. Does that make sense? Or? Yeah. Okay, any other questions? It's like now in this world right now, like, you know we're not fully qualified to be with our guru, to have his association. But we know that if we act in a proper way, we can have his association. Even though we're not fully pure. Like, if, you know, if he knows exactly what's going on in our head, and he does, but, you know, if like, then we're not actually qualified. But if we act in a proper way, we can come close, we can get association. And that will gradually uplift us. So you just have to be honest with yourself, look at yourself, right, and act properly. Is that okay? Okay.
I'd like to make a point on that, is that the guru, going to sainted person, we can relate ourselves being purified by the creation and service to devotees. I think this is the link.
Yeah, I mean, the guru is called Ashraya Vigraha. Right? Chaitanya Charitamrita has explained. So we associate with the guru because he is purifying us, so one day we can be with Krishna. Right? So that's the system. So he traveled to the holy places to purify himself so then he could be with Krishna. But the goal was to be with Krishna. Does that make sense? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki?
Yeah.